This week I was busier than ever offering pastoral care. I spoke to so many who were overwhelmed by loss of one kind or another and were emotionally devastated, enraged, and losing hope. Believers are often called on to offer a redemptive word, a spiritual source of comfort, and often we turn to scriptures, many times to the book of Psalms or one of the Gospels. It's funny when you start digging what you'll find. For instance, did you know that not all Psalms are found in the Old Testament book of Psalms? And the Gospel, a.k.a. the Good News, is found not only in the New Testament, but in the Old as well? Today's scripture is proof positive, located in the Old Testament book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 12, verses 2 through 6. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid. For the Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known his deeds among the nations. Proclaim his name as exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Due to the style of writing of the passage, form critics of the book believe it was probably penned by an anonymous prophet known as the second Isaiah. This prophet served God during Israel's exile into Babylon around 540 BCE, and though most of this prophet's work is found in Isaiah's chapters 40 through 55, he pops up in other chapters as well. Per Old Testament scholar Rolf Jacobson, it seems the second Isaiah wanted to give Isaiah's work a boost so as to give those feeling bashed and banished in Babylon a bit of hope. He fanned the flame of faith a bit. To be real, many of God's people believed not and had lost hope. Why bother even considering a God who had allowed this to happen to his people? Their faith was dying or had already died. What a task, inspiring the inspirationally challenged. Like telling a person who had never felt a cool breeze to seek the gift of the wind, or one who has known only thirst that an abundance of water was available, so much so as to fill one's belly. There had been generations of unblessing for a people who were pitched a promised land if they exited Egypt. So in this psalm, Isaiah 2.0 tries by having those without faith to participate in a faith practice, that is, a spiritual prayer and a song. It's kind of the fake it till you make it, but even more so. It's kind of like this, hey dudes, I can't explain it, but if you start moving with the spirit you may not feel right now, you just may find it in the motion. Like the sea turtles in Finding Nemo and that stream that carried them. Isn't it easier to say, join in the movement of those? You know, try to sense it versus telling them how they should feel. Ask yourself, is it easier to say a person who is struggling with their faith, you must believe, or is it better to say, let's pray? Instead of demanding that one trust in God, you should trust in God, you should trust in God. Maybe you could say, hey, listen to this poem, this song. It really speaks to me. Jacobson writes, what second Isaiah did in the psalm found in Isaiah 12 was essentially the latter option. In the midst of exile, with all its physical, emotional, and spiritual trauma, the prophet invited the exiles to sing the familiar songs that celebrate Israel's repeated experiences of God's deliverance. Senses were stimulated by the shared experience, and it's just so much more effective. Sure, the slides of the family vacation to the Grand Canyon are amazing, you know, but nothing compares to our standing on the edge looking out and up and down. Nothing. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? That overwhelming feeling you get from being in the presence or experiencing greatness, it takes your breath away. But try to explain that to someone. And it's not just in joyful moments either. Sometimes it's found in grief, you know, deep grieving and loss. In those solitary moments, at moments when there is no one or no thing, certainly no words to describe the sorrow. Sometimes there's nothing left but to seek and pray for that peace that passes all understanding. The Jewish people had placed their hope into a being that had been and could only be described to them by their forefathers and mothers and prophets. Moses and his "Let my people go" excited them, and they did follow him, and in no time, though, they were lost and wandering until their struggle, the struggle took them to a place of experience, experiencing God. They saw God at work in the words and the leadership of another, but also in the provision of community found in their shared journey. The same traditions of singing and praying in community carried the slaves of this nation through the hell of captivity. Slave spirituals were sung while slaves worked to help inspire hope within the community, creating the vision of freedom in a new day. One day. You've been there, I'm sure, finding God in the arms or in the words of a dear friend. Spirit's presence in flawed yet sincere human exchange. You've been that for another as well, sometimes by simply sitting beside them, whether in the giving or the receiving. If we pause and recollect, there has been a time where in the relating, the wonder, the mystery, the presence of God is felt and sensed in the exchange. Emotion may even overcome you, the motion of spirit, and you'll know God is there. God is here. I can try to describe how I know, how deep down I know. I can share about the intuitive and serendipitous moments that have overwhelmed me with the knowing. I can tell you what my mom said in her last hours, her efforts to rally, to share what she knew before she passed. But the words aren't the proof. The proof is in the experience. I sat in a theater most all day last Friday and heard stories at TEDx. I volunteer each year for a couple of hours and then am able to join others to listen and learn and be inspired. I heard moving stories of compassion and care and giving of self to care for others and for this environment. The theme of this year's TED Talks was the power of one, the power of one that then influenced many. The one who is inspired with an idea, a notion, yet in time was able to influence the many. The actions, the movement of one is amazing, but the power of one not shared, it can be lost. An experience in solitary may indeed be meaningful, but the shared experience, the shared knowing, that is life-changing. The football player catches the pass, lands in the end zone, and is overjoyed. But he doesn't just sit there. He leaps. The crowd roars. His teammates run to his side. Joy from one pass to one catch is expanded by other. The spirit is raised and fills that stadium. Shoot, even those who aren't cheering for the team that scored the touchdown feel the spirit. Or when we gather in sadness at that memorial service of the one we lost and loved, we gather and mourn. Yet if open, somehow we sense the comfort and presence of other when words come slowly, but prayerful space envelops. Now I know that there are many in the world, certainly some in this room, who are uncertain about the spirit, about a higher power, and certainly struggle with the organized religion, especially conservative theology's explanation of the universe and its creator. Please forgive us for trying to share and tell and explain the unexplainable. Sure, our words may comfort and encourage some, but not all. Oh, but the joy and sense of something so wonderful. Well, it can be just too good to keep to oneself. Or that time at our lowest, when the power of the one filled us and stilled us, and we just knew. I know it may seem ridiculous. Sure, it is often oversimplified. But if for a moment you could believe enough in the person who was doing the telling, could you? Would you be willing to join them in their songs and their prayers, their experience? If so, possibly, maybe you'd be able to lean in and catch a breath of God's Spirit sharing in theirs. In the sharing may come a growing sense that something is there, and your own knowing that God is here just may emerge.